Welcome to Bed Crime Stories Podcast. I'm your host, T. I hope you guys are having a great time. To anyone new here, a warm welcome. Thank you so much for checking out the channel. All I ask is after watching and or listening to the video, if you find you enjoyed it or you learned something, do me a favor, smash that like button and consider subscribing. Now, without further ado, let's jump into the weeds. Madeline Soto had just gone through a huge transition in a child's life. Before she died, she went from being a girl of 12 to a teenager. Turning 13 is a huge rite of passage for all children. For girls, it's essentially the first chapter in becoming a woman. If Madeline did have an interest in a cute boy at school, she may very well have gotten the courage to say to her abuser, 37-year-old Stephen Stearns, "No more. If you don't stop, I'm gonna tell." Stefan would have known the consequences of Madeline telling an adult or law enforcement or a teacher. That would mean criminal charges. I'll tell you what, in Florida, they don't mess around with SOs. They throw the book at them. If Maddie did say something like that to Stefan, this could have been a recipe for murder. The end of the sexual gravy train for this depraved man-child who had a full backstage pass to live out all his sick fantasies. Tragically, it took Madeline losing her life to finally bring Stephen Stearns to his knees and to the police. I wanted to share some advice that I heard Tuesday on Surviving the Survivor about what to tell your children about predatory people who may, God forbid, find their way into their lives or their paths. The advice was to tell your child early on that they should trust their spidey sense if they feel that something's a little off with someone. Trust their gut, take off running, scream, shout, do whatever you have to, get away even if you think you look like a fool. Who cares? Trust your gut. The second piece of advice was for parents to tell their children that no one is allowed to have secrets with you. No one. This to me sounded like such stellar advice. What an effective way to circumvent these monsters who often manipulate their victims to keep the SA on the down low. And the third piece of advice was to always have a line of communication open to your kids and a safe space for them where they can tell you anything. You know, when I looked up the address of Jen Soto's condo, she's Madeline's mother, and it was where Madeline was living with Jen and sometimes with Stephen Stearns, there appeared to be oodles of red caution symbols. Each one of those symbols represents an SO living in the area. And I'll tell you, nearly every time I look up an address, I see the same red symbols. There are so many registered SOs out there. The experts say these people never change their stripes. I don't want to terrify you or me, but this is the reality. These predators lurk among us, and we have to be aware of it, and we have to take steps to make ourselves the least likely target. Carry pepper spray, walk with attitude, don't shy away from looking people in the eye. Look around yourself, be aware of your circumstances. After learning about the 60 new charges facing Stephen Stearns, and trying to process the sheer volume of all that, I started wondering what exactly those charges meant. 13 of his charges were for sexual battery. 8 of those were for battery of a child under 12. 5 were for a child aged 12 to 18. The Florida statutes define sexual battery as a situation in which the alleged perpetrator uses an object or an organ to penetrate another person's private parts. Could be back, front, mouth. This act is done without the consent of the person and would not fall under the terms of a legitimate medical procedure. Furthermore, force or the use of a deadly weapon may or may not be involved in a sexual battery charge. If an alleged victim does not fight back or attempt to get away, that cannot be deemed as consent. Consent requires the active and conscious agreement to participate in an act. The law explains that a person must be able to communicate consent. A mentally ill person is said to be mentally defective and therefore unable to provide consent. If a person was allegedly given drugs, alcohol, or other substances which can impair cognitive function, that person can be considered mentally incapacitated. Mental incapacitation also precludes the giving of consent. In Florida, sexual battery charges are felonies. However, not every sexual battery charge is the same type of felony. Some may be capital felonies, life felonies, first degree felonies, or second-degree felonies. For example, if an adult defendant is accused of committing or trying to commit sexual battery against a child under the age of 12, and the child's sexual organs are injured in the process, the defendant could be charged with a capital felony. This type of charge may be punishable by death. So it sounds like investigators found evidence of 13 separate crimes of this nature on Stearns' phone and possibly on other devices. Now, Stephen Stearns was also charged with 7 counts of lewd and lascivious molestation and 40 counts of unlawful possession of materials depicting sexual performance by a child. Under Florida law, lewd or lascivious molestation is defined as taking place when a person intentionally touches in a lewd or lascivious manner the breasts, genitals, genital area, buttocks, or the clothing covering them of a person less than 16 years of age, or forces or entices a person under 16 years of age to so touch the perpetrator. So in Florida, a person who commits this crime against a minor faces penalties such as a felony charge up to the third degree, up to 15 years in prison, and up to $10,000 in fines. Now, if the offender is over 18 years of age and the minor is under the age of 12, the offender can face a prison sentence of up to life in prison. And again, Stern faces 7 counts of this charge. He's already screwed. And we haven't even gotten to the other 40 charges, and Stearns hasn't been charged with murder yet. For the other 40 charges, it sounds like the unlawful materials consisted of a child performing sexual acts, and those acts were either photographed or filmed. That translates into 40 separate videos or photographs. In Florida, this crime is considered a third-degree felony, which is punishable with up to 5 years in prison and a $5,000 fine. Stearns has 40 counts of this. If convicted of all 40, he's facing 200 years in prison and a fine of $200,000. In addition to all of this, Stearns will be a registered SO for life. Not that it matters, because I'm pretty sure he's going to be behind bars. Personally, I don't think Stephen Stearns will ever live a day as a free man again, and rightly so. And it may very well be that he's sentenced to death if he is found guilty. According to Vinnie Politan, cases like this don't typically go to trial because they have the video evidence. I'm wondering if Stearns victimized other kids as well. He did supposedly work for a period at Walt Disney World. Note that Disney denies this, but this photo shows Stearns dressed as a character, so it's possible he was a contract employee brought in to work at Disney. Some of Stearns' friends have said that he always seemed to have money despite not having a steady job. Based on the new charges, I'm wondering if he was selling this stuff. Moving on to one psychiatrist's take on Stephen Stearns. Dr. Carol Lieberman was on Court TV on Tuesday night, and she flat out said Stephen had to have experienced something that twisted him sexually in his preteen years. Dr. Lieberman suggested that perhaps Stephen was also essayed, or maybe people took illicit photos of him. Lieberman was emphatic that something had to have happened that led Stephen to do things like allegedly place his semen in jars. I'm throwing up in my coffee right now. And also to become a peeping Tom creeping around his friend's house with a camera, presumably to take photos of the friend's mother in the bathroom. We've heard that Stefan's mother, Debbie, was allegedly verbally abusive. Could she have also been physically abusive? This is pure speculation on my part. No one has said anything about her physically abusing him, and I don't want to start rumors, and this is all speculation. It's just as likely that his mother is a lovely person. We don't know. I took a look at photos of Stefan's parents, and they look like your average mother and father. However, we know that someone's looks don't mean anything. This could be a lovely family with nothing to hide, or a deeply troubled one. Perhaps Stefan had the misfortune of having a relative with abusive tendencies or a neighbor. Sometimes it's people outside of the family who inflict the harm. And as for whether or not Jen Soto knew about her daughter's abuse at Stefan Stern's hands, here's what I read in a white paper entitled Mothers Who Fail to Protect Their Children from SA. By the way, we don't know if she knew about it or she didn't know about it. Most people are saying she had to have seen signs, she had to have known because of how long this stuff went on. Denial is a psychological defense mechanism that a person uses to screen out distressing realities and the painful feelings they cause. In the case of a mother who is in denial about the abuse of her child, denial protects her from the pain of knowing about the abuse, from her ensuing feelings of anger and betrayal toward her abusing partner, and from her feeling of guilt for not having protected her child. At some level, she may be aware that abuse is occurring, but to ward off these feelings, and perhaps to avoid facing the potential dissolution of her marriage or relationship, she denies its occurrence. A mother's denial regarding her partner's abuse may be compounded by her dependence upon her partner. Roland Summit explains, as someone substantially dependent on the approval and generosity of the father, the mother in the incestuous triangle is confronted with a mind-splitting dilemma. Either the child or the father or partner is lying and unworthy of trust. The mother's whole security and life adjustment and much of her sense of adult self-worth demand a trust in the reliability of her partner. To accept the alternative means annihilation of the family and a large piece of her own identity. She may be panicked at the prospect of having to attempt to provide for her family, particularly if she has not had an opportunity to cultivate competencies in materially remunerative fields. That's just a fancy way of saying that maybe she hasn't had a chance to cultivate a career that pays a shitload of money. Yet even those mothers who support their families, in addition to an unemployed partner, sometimes refuse to take credit for the tasks they perform and often perceive that their partners somehow protect them from crisis. As a result, they may have little confidence in their ability to cope with life alone and thereby be susceptible to the same proclivities toward denial as those women who are financially dependent upon their partners. Some mothers' inability to confront the abuse of their children may also arise from their reactions to being victims of incest themselves. Oh my gosh, I know that's a lot to think about, so I'm going to leave you with all of that. Allow it to percolate. Let me know your thoughts in the comments, and I look forward to seeing you next time on Bed Crime Stories.